Thank you for joining us again. This is Module 5, Finding and Recognizing Business Opportunities, Part 4. We will cover opportunity finding categories number 18 to 26 in this module. They are imitating successful products or business ideas, identifying unique client groups and tailoring products for them, drawing upon the resources of underused people, gaining a small percentage of a larger market, packaging, substituting materials in existing products, provide a consulting or information service, franchising your business, buying a franchise. Now, let's go to the live venue in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. Imitating successful products or business ideas. What country in the world's good at that? Imitating. Japan. Yeah, Taiwan. Now, these countries have been known for imitating. I see that in China, they're putting a, you know, with the Olympics coming in there in 2008, I guess it is. Is that there's, I saw in the paper yesterday, a major, major crackdown on the breaking of copyright rules and that whole industry that's happening in China, trying to kind of uplift China in the eyes of the world. And I forget how many billions per year that is being rifled and copied, okay, in China. What are some examples? A clothing manufacturer imitates high fashion originals and offers them at a lower cost. Anybody here got a Rolex watch? Anybody here got one that looks like a Rolex watch? You know, I mean, that's common. I know a guy that, I mean, it's selling Rolex watches, lookalikes for, you know, and these are really good ones, and these are 1,000 to 1,500 rand a piece. But you literally would have to be a professional to really, really know the difference. You want his address? But no, it's the Viagra you asked for. I'll get you that. And you want the Rolex watch. You're really going to be uptown pretty quick here. Okay. When trivia became popular as a game, Trivia Pursuit, several companies began producing imitations of specialized versions. When Cabbage Patch dolls became popular, several women began producing lookalikes. What are some other ones where you've seen imitating? Okay, so Mr. Price retail chains imitating popular trends. Around imitating, there's a whole, an age group from a fashion point of view. People between the ages of 22 up to about early 30s. It's a whole market of people that buy imitations. You know, you'll have a car that'll come out that'll sort of look like a Jag. It'll look like a Merc Sport. But it's, 400,000 Rand less. And yet the upwardly mobile imitator wants to imitate that. You know, so styles and things like that, very big in imitation. Okay, and car manufacturers are very good at it. Like I saw a car the other day and I thought it was a Jag and it was a Ford. Couldn't believe my eyes, but the shape of it, the way from the back, looked like a traditional Jag. So the imitation thing often puts value on something. Nigel. So the manufacturers, yeah, exactly. They imitation leather seats. And you sit down, and when you leave, your bum stays there. When you get up. Same shape and everything. You can recognize who was there. Oh, I see Joe was here, eh? He was a little heavier on the right, you know. That's great. Okay, what else? Any other ones on imitating? Yeah, I see there's police sunglasses on every corner. Yeah. And diesel. Yeah, diesel. Now, there's an interesting thing that, you know, talking about capitalizing on, taking and capitalizing on the opportunities in your own business is that you take Caterpillar. I mean, I remember my dad. My dad was a heavy-duty mechanic at the gypsum company at an open-pit mine. I mean, and I can still smell the grease on him. You know, he'd come home from work, and, I mean, he'd have oil and grease and being in those machines, and you could smell it. And I remember laying in bed with my dad when I was a kid, and he was reading his mechanic magazines, and I'm looking at these Caterpillar manuals. And then as a kid, I got to go over to the gypsum company in the mines and get up on those big Caterpillar tractors and those turnidozers, and I was amazed. And then the company becomes, you can buy tackies that are Caterpillar tackies. Eh? And you can buy hats and you can buy jackets that are Caterpillar. And what did they do? They took, what do you got, cat? You got cats on there. And I mean, a few, unheard of. What the heck are they doing going to the clothing business? But what did Caterpillar say? Rugged, heavy duty, man, strong. Eh?
Strong.
Look at the thighs on them. You got to have thighs when you wear cats. They're so heavy that, you know, it's like walking around with, you know, weights on you, and then you get these big legs. We know there's a whole underground market in imitating. I mean, that's one of the biggest troubles right now around patent copyrights and stuff is it ain't just imitation, it's stealing, okay, literally. By the way, this you see that this material I'm putting in front of you is copyright, okay? And you know what copyright means in South Africa? Right to copy. And I'm going to give you one piece of advice. If you steal my material, don't be upset at me if somebody else sues you. The guy I stole it from is going to be really upset when he sees you with it. And the guy I stole it from has got a lot of money. So he'll come after you.
Another example of imitating successful products or business ideas is this one. One South African motivational speaker took North America's Anthony Robbins, Personal Power, and Release the Giant Within book content and processes, along with Tony's style of presenting, and became a top motivational speaker and author in South Africa. And apparently now he's touring Canada speaking. How would you do it? Look for what is selling well and assess future market potential. Check for potential conflicts relating to patents, copyrights, or licenses. Identify key success factors of the product or service. Find out how to make a similar product or service in a cost-efficient way. Produce and market the item or service. Identify potential products or services that can be imitated because they are not available in a particular market. Value is added, cost is improved, or they meet the needs of a particular niche market. Now, there are a few key questions. Here they are. Is there an item or service that is selling well which I can imitate? What popular products or services could I imitate and make available to a new market, add value to, or improve the cost? What potential customers would purchase my imitation?
Identifying unique client groups and tailoring products for them. So literally identifying that client group and tailoring the product. That's taking an existing product or service and tailoring or adapting it to meet the unique needs of a particular group of clients. These needs could relate to characteristics of the people. They could be left-handed. Okay, and there are special things for left-handed people. It could be overweight. They could be disabled. Lifestyles, it could be leisure activities, timing of life activities. Own assets, it could be specific cars, specific boats, houses, or similar factors. This may also involve creating new products, especially for unique needs of some client groups. Let's just go through a few of those. Taking an existing education, recreation, or other community service and offering it in a foreign language or one of South Africa's many languages for a particular ethnic group. I think there's all kinds of opportunities in this country around that. Like these tapes that we're recording here right now, it would be a good idea to record them in Afrikaans, and we should probably have them recorded in Xhosa and Zulu. And I'm going to do the Zulu. Does anybody here want to do Xhosa? And Marius, can you handle Afrikaans? Okay. Achman. Okay. One store, I shouldn't have mentioned this on this tape because there will be this imitation one will come out, okay? And it'll be in Zulu and I'll never know anybody stole it because I won't be able to understand what they're saying. One store was set up to supply products for left-handed people. Anybody here left-handed? How many people are left-handed here? One, two. What are the difficulties that you have as a left-handed person that creates a bit of a problem for you in a right-handed society? No, just give me something. It's just out of interest, because this is where you find opportunities, okay? Out of interest. So as a left-handed person, there are certain challenges that right-handed people...
You can never get hold of golf, left-handed golf clubs.
There are no left-handed golf clubs.
It's for every 10 different sets of right-handed...
So left-handed golf clubs? So what else? Checkbooks. The fork's the wrong way when you're having a piece of cake. Everything's wrong, man. I mean, you ought to see this guy eat a piece of cake. No wonder you eat with your hands. People say, why do you eat with your hands? Well, I'm left-handed. Nobody provided me with a left-handed fork. What's a left-handed fork look like anyway? It sways that way. Okay. Boyfriend's left-handed. Tell us, okay. And so what's special about a left-handed... what I want to know is what's so special about a left-handed boyfriend. That's right.
He complains that the chairs, the beach chairs and the sports chairs have a place on the right-hand side for the beer.
And so he has to... Oh, I look later on. You and I are going to talk, okay? Because I really want to know about this left-handed boyfriend. And you're looking pretty proud over there as a left-handed guy. These left-handed guys know some things us right-handed guys don't know. I'll tell you that much, okay? But seriously, you could take and honestly, we forget, but you could take one group like left-handed people and really research it, some of the issues, okay? So actually, we could start a bank for left-handed people. Right? Yeah. I mean, would you bank with me? If I had a bank for left-handed people, would you bank with me? Yeah, the Irish. Yeah, it's an Irish bank. Yeah, checkbooks for left-handed people or books for left-handed people. But it's amazing, though, when you think of it, that most of us, we don't, but that's a select group. I mean, and I mean, I've never met a normal left-handed person. They're kind of weird as well. Let's carry on, okay? That's good, okay. Another woman established a personalized service where boat owners could bring glasses and dishes and cutlery and other boat objects to have their boat names laser engraved on these items. Another good little idea. A company producing embroidery and screen printing of logos on clothing or design lines to service corporate clients. A company provides home renovations and consulting on upgrading homes and offices for people with allergies and environmental sensitivities. Anybody here, would that appeal to you? Yeah. A health spa in Soweto that's called Tabang Kubeka. Growing Roots Health and Beauty Spa, situated at Deepscliff Shopping Center. Her spa offers a variety of beauty treatments and attracts about 12 clients, mostly between 40 and 80 years per day. Kabuka's goal is to either open more branches or franchise in the next 2 years, specific client group. Mutual and Federal covers a range of businesses. Florisure, the florist stores and their owners. Dentisure for dentists. Medisure covers doctors and their practices. And veterinarian policy covering both the domestic and agricultural sectors. And left-handed... left assurance for left-handed people. Actually, they're probably a higher risk. Left-handed people. Gavin Maggot, Rollability, a small Cape Town company which assembles various lightweight and durable wheelchairs for the local and export market. Gavin Maggot became paraplegic after a motorcycle accident, lost his job at the corporation he was working for, and was put on early retirement. But it was adapt or die for Maggot, who today has climbed back to successfully own and manage Rollability. Specific group. Hollard Insurance combines domestic and commercial insurance for small businesses. Prepaid cell phone cards launched in a practical attempt to connect previously disadvantaged South Africans. Identifying those unique client groups. If you start researching, it's actually quite humorous in a way, but what is there and some of the opportunities that sit there. You could make a business out of maybe not catering to left-handed people, but catering to left-handed people and about 20 other groups that are in the same situation. How about people that are under 5 foot tall with size one shoes? Is size one shoes? One and two. Size one and two shoes. So you have to buy children's shoes? And how tall are you, Bubbles? 1.4. Stand up, I'll tell you. Let's just see. Yeah, okay. So she's definitely under 5 foot. Now, what are some of the difficulties as somebody that's not tall in this country? What is it? Shoes. Just shoes. But adult shoes, instead of children's shoes, you know, for people with size 1-2 feet. Now, you'd probably find that would be that if somebody, all they'd have to do is maybe import them from Asia, where, you know, you have entire populations. It's really interesting to stand at the airport. Like, I'm serious, though. Like, in London, I've been standing at the airport, and it's funny to watch because you're standing there, and there are people landing from all over the world. And you just turn around and look, and all of a sudden you see these giants coming. And everybody in the lineup, you know, it's Sweden and Norway and places, and they're all this tall. And all of a sudden, right behind them, and you just imagine this lineup, and right behind them is Japan Airlines. And then there's all these people this tall, you know, and it really, and you think about I wonder if the airplane seats in all of those airplanes are all the same spaced. Probably are. That's right. Yeah, uncomfortable if you're tall. I mean, and coming from Japan, most of the Japanese people, they've got first-class seats. You know, from room point of view, compared to some guy that's 6'8". I mean, you see them sitting there, their knees up around their chin. And it could be done better. Actually, who would agree that on an airplane, if there was one thing that was done on an aircraft, if they catered for a certain percentage of people of being really tall, and they had the seats set so that those people could really get some leg room. And big people. That's right. Because those are some of the realities. So it's catering to unique client groups.
How would you do it? Find a unique client group you would like to serve. The group could be based on language, age, lifestyle, geographical location, profession, or any other important characteristic. To find special groups, try the following suggestions. Analyze the telephone yellow pages for specific activities and interest groups. Example, truckers, sports groups, doctors, brides, senior citizens. Look through a directory on associations at your local library. Analyze newspaper stories to identify special interest groups. Observe unique sections of your city, ethnic areas, etc. Identify groups who live in remote or unique regions. Analyze magazines available for special interest groups. Analyze the special needs of the group by studying unique characteristics of the people and observing their activities. You might even want to go live with them. That's called reality immersion. Identifying products and services which are not offered to the group or are not well tailored for the special characteristics of the group by listing complaints related to commonly used products and services, listing items that people express a need for. Find products, services, resources, or assets which can be adapted to meet the special needs of the group or create new products for the group.
Drawing upon the resources of underused people. Let's take a look at this one. Identify and using the skills, the talents, and energy of underused people who can provide useful services and are available for part-time or full-time work. I think it's fairly big in this country. One businesswoman started a word processing and computer data entry service distributing piecework to people who had computers in their homes. Three unemployed tradesmen pooled their resources, bought an older rundown home, renovated it for resale. An unemployed accountant and teacher designed a computer-based training package to teach accounting to high school students. They were joined by a retired marketing manager to promote the product. A cooperative comprised of people with disabilities provided gardening and landscaping to residents and businesses. A Cape Town firm hires people who work from home to type books in other languages. It's interesting because I know some of those people, and they don't even speak the languages, but they just have to copy it. A woman handicraft group, the Nos da Trama project in Araruama in the state of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, is growing in stature. Women graduate from being poor, unemployed, and uneducated housewives or single mothers into proud producers of garments and costumes. Some of these garments are sold in boutiques in the tourist town of Rio de Janeiro. The local theater industry is using garments produced by these women. Sabré in the state of Rio de Janeiro is introducing fishermen into fish farming. One of their successes has been Alexander Bertolo, 28, whose venture is now producing scallops, a favorite upmarket shellfish delicacy for the Rio de Janeiro market. Smithfield, a project in the Free State, modeled on a similar project run in Zimbabwe, where 6,000 rural women were contracted to make hand-knitted cotton jerseys for export. I know there's a lot of this going on in this country. The opportunities with the underutilized people are pretty big, and there are some people that are just specializing in that area. And I think sometimes it's something you need to specialize in. You know, for a business opportunity, somebody listening to this tape says, you know something? If they said, I'm just going to look for the underutilized people in this country and look for the things that I can do and make a business out of it. That's a specific focus, and you'd get real good at it.
Here's a unique example on drawing upon the resources of underused people. The Vukasaki Road Maintenance Program is a unique program. It's people at work breaking the back of poverty. And it's a good example. The Eastern Cape is the poorest province in the country, with more than 70% of its people living in rural areas. The national government, through the president, has committed itself to reversing this situation. The Vukuzaki is the name given to a road maintenance called the Lengthman. The Lengthman systems are a road maintenance program in which communities maintain the gravel roads in their neighborhood. Each household is given a kilometer of road to look after. In turn, they receive a monthly stipend of 400 rand. The two main strategies are poverty alleviation and road maintenance. This is definitely drawing on the resources of underused people. On this one, I say congratulations to the government. So how would we draw upon the resources of underused people? How would we go about it? Identify people with valuable talents and knowledge who are not working regularly by checking with job placement agencies, asking training agencies for names of graduates who are not employed. If you have your own business, identify your own employees who have specialized training in a field which is not related to their current job, and see how their skills can be used to exploit opportunities. Locate employees with specialized training who are on temporary leave from their jobs for reasons such as maternity, academic studies, or personal renewal. They can be used as short-term, part-time members of special project teams. Check lists of association members to find people who are not associated with existing companies. Attend meetings of unemployed people with connections to specialized occupations, such as engineers or teachers, to identify valuable skills which can be used to explore business opportunities. Analyze the skills of people you know are currently out of work or handicapped in some way, and think of services which could be offered using their individual or group talents. Investigate a project to determine if it could be handled by underused talent that is available to you.
Gaining a small percentage of a larger market, and thus taking a high-volume market and attempting to serve a small piece of it. The market should be large enough so the small portion of it will be profitable. One of the things about doing that is going after a small percentage of a large market. Often you don't get the attention of the big guys. And you can get in there and take a piece of market and not upset the big guys who might nail you and stop you. The fast food business is a large and growing market. A woman owned a small fish restaurant in a suburban area and succeeded despite major fast food chains operating in the area. That happens all the time. A small brewery opened with the intention of serving only a percentage of the market and was successful and not a major threat to major breweries. There's a fair amount of microbreweries happening right now in this country. That's a small percentage of a big market. Several software companies have recognized the profits available from serving only a small portion of the computer market. They focus on limited segments of the market with specialized products. Prestasi, being a niche insurance broker, offers innovative insurance products to the low-cost end of the market. Nearly half of its 95,000 customers are senior citizens, who, contrary to popular beliefs, are much safer insurance risks than younger age categories. GM Yolanda van Esch, our relationship with clients is strong because we maintain regular contact with them, something that is not that common in this industry, and we invest in service. This means claims are paid out faster and client queues are handled properly. So that's quickly, gain a small percentage of a large market.
Here's another example of somebody gaining a small percentage of a larger market and opening a small business. Madeline Els, previously a restaurant manager and bartender in Gauteng, and Maynard Van Tonder opened up Gorgeous Flowers to provide corporates and event management firms as well as individuals with flowers. With a good hard-working ethic combined with creativity and sales ability, they are gaining a small share of a larger market. Within a couple of months, Madeleine and Maynard recognized another opportunity and have gone in the business of supplying pots, businesses and individuals who need decorative plant pots. How would you do it? Identify the large volume markets in South Africa by examining economic reports, trade association figures, and marketing studies. Select a market to work in and devise a way to compete effectively by seeking advantages such as location, type of facilities, personal reputation, level of service, selection of goods, price, business concept, advertising, or your sales ability, or similar share in some highly competitive market where large organizations are battling for each single percentage point.
Strawberries are bought in bulk, sorted into smaller volumes, and packaged in attractive boxes for resale. Okay, a company buys steak and lobster tails, packages them together as steak and lobster dinner, sells them as gourmet meals in food stores. One woman buys salmon and packages it for passengers on airlines. A natural beauty products company sells all its products in bulk products that are traditionally packaged throughout most of the industry. A gift pack, a basket company buys specialty items in bulk cases and then repackages them into individual theme baskets. A company identifies food solid in packages and offers these products in bulk with no packaging. Yeah, interesting. Whereas normally sold in packaging, they take and sell it in bulk with no packaging, which in essence is packaging in the way that they've packaged it.
Once again, how would you do it? Identify a product that is poorly packaged and then devise an improved package for it. Find a product that is normally sold without a package and devise a package that would increase its value. Find a product that you can buy in bulk quantities and repackage into smaller amounts. Identify products that consumers normally use at the same time but buy separately. Devise a package to combine them for sale as a kit. Look for products that are usually packaged and consider whether you could sell them in bulk to lower the price or address the environmental concerns of consumers. Now, packaging isn't just products, because you could combine packages of service or offering. For example, you could have a newlywed package. You could have a starter package if you're in the insurance business. So be creative when you're thinking packaging.
And substituting materials in existing products. It's number 23, improving an existing product by changing the type of materials it is made of. This procedure can often make the product lighter, stronger, more flexible, or cheaper to produce. One company substituted plastic for metal in fishing lures. The lures are now less expensive to produce, lighter in weight, and easier to keep shiny. A plastic manufacturer makes plastic buckets for grain elevators. They're stronger than the previously used metal buckets, do not dent, and do not corrode. By changing their packaging from wood crates to corrugated cardboard boxes, a wholesale gift company was able to reduce its shipping costs due to the lighter weight. So that's substituting materials. You see, something that's being done, let's look at all the things that are being made. Is there an advantage to substituting different material in there to take and make it happen? There was this couple that had an old Tomcat. And the old Tomcat wouldn't stay at home. And in the middle of the night, he'd get out, and not in the daytime, it was the middle of the night, and you'd hear, you know, you've heard that sound before. Oh, I get excited when I hear that sound, don't you? Huh? That's right. What happened was that all the neighbors got really fed up with this old Tomcat making all these noises, and nobody was sleeping because he was a pretty rambunctious Tomcat, so he was out every night. And finally, the neighbors came to them and banged on their door, and they said, look, if you don't keep that Tomcat in at nighttime, we're going to take turns, and we're going to come over and pound on your doors, and we're going to wake you up, and we're going to phone you, but you're not going to get any sleep, because we're not getting any sleep because of that darn Tomcat. Okay. So the folks took the old Tomcat aside and said, listen, Tom, you don't understand something. You're causing a lot of racket. We know that you have these natural instincts, but it still must work in the daytime. And there's no way that you can be out in the middle of the night making all this racket, because we get these neighbors, and they've told us that if this continues, they're going to come over, and they're going to wake us up, and all of this stuff. And it's really, really going to cause us some problems. Okay, so we're telling you that you cannot go out at nighttime making those rackets. You got it? Tom says, I got it, okay? He says, you promise you stay in? Yes, I'll stay in. Well, just 2 or 3 days later, Tom just couldn't, the urge was there, and out he went, and the old telephone starts ringing, there's people pounding on the door, and they didn't get any sleep, and they were really fed up. So they said to old Tom, okay, we've had it with you. And here's the deal. You don't go out at nighttime, and you don't make any noise, any racket. And if you do, we're going to take you down to the veterinarian, and we're going to have him do a job on you. He's going to snip you, okay? You know what that means. Tom says, I got it. I got the message. I said, and we're serious. We will do that. So he said, I won't go out. 3-4 days, a week or so goes by, and all of a sudden the urge was just too strong, and old Tom went meow, 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 through the neighborhood again, and phone calls, people pounding the door, and old Tom comes crawling in the morning looking pretty rough, and the folks are looking pretty rough because they've been up all night long. And when they came in, the old man just took that cat and picked him up and said, that's it, Tom. We told you what we're going to do to him. They whipped him down to the vet, and the vet did a job on him. Come back, sit him down, and says, you'll stay home now, won't you? And he says, I guess I sure will, because my motivation is gone. A couple of weeks went by, and Tom didn't go out in the daytime at all, and he didn't go out at nighttime, and all of a sudden, they came home one day, and he was missing, and they were really worried about him. And then out, they went started searching for him, and they couldn't seem to find him, and he was gone for like a week, 2 weeks. And finally, they said, we've got to do one last big search and see if we can find this old cat, because we love him. And they searched and searched, and finally they were in the bush, and they come through, and there was a grove of trees, and they couldn't believe their eyes, because there was old Tom standing there, and he had about 30 cats around him. And they walked up to him, and they said, Tom, what in the heck are you doing? We've been so worried about you. He said, folks, when you're not much good for anything else, you can always become a consultant. So, I've seen a couple of people giving me a dirty look in here. So, the next business opportunity is providing a consulting or information service, which I think we started on a little earlier. Okay, that's right. So, we're talking about offering advice, service, information, okay, to other people in subject areas that we've got the expertise. And a researcher provides a clipping service to many major corporations. Her staff clip newspaper articles and record anything that is happening that may be of interest to clients who purchase the service. That's a form of a consulting service. That's on page 25, and it's opportunity number 24. A computer online searching service are provided by several companies. They connect to computer data banks all over the world. Information these banks is gathered and reported to clients who want answers to specific questions. A specialist in government operations provides a consulting service to companies who want to do business with government. She advises companies about efficient procedures to deal with government departments. Actually, that's a good service, because a lot of us have trouble making it through some of the channels. Trade World, for 480 RAND businesses and individuals can subscribe to this electronic database, which either faxes or emails the latest provincial tenders directly to you. Okay, that's a service. Madunsa Organization for Disabled Entrepreneurs offers various business courses and workshops for disabled entrepreneurs, including 2-month training on how to start up a business. Beehive Entrepreneurial Development Center, okay, and Mopalunga is a Kula accredited small business loans organization, also known as a retail finance intermediary, RFI, which makes loans available to small business owners in Mopalunga, Gauteng, and Limpopo provinces. These are all some examples of possible consulting service. So there's all kinds of options around consulting. Franchising your business, and that's we're all aware of what franchising is, but it's selling the rights and support systems for another person to operate a business partnered after your concept or business in another location. The contract usually provides for ongoing income from royalties and or sales of supplies, might also provide for shared costs for advertising. Fontana Roastery, successful restaurants sold franchises so that similar restaurants could be developed in other cities to form a chain. Do we have Fontanas here in PE? I know they have in Cape Town. A firm which rented used cars became successful and sold franchises to develop similar businesses in other locations called Rent-A-Rec. And it's a fact. I mean, it's a big, big chain across North America. Do we have Rent-A-Rec in South Africa? I've rented a couple. W-R-E-C-K, Rent-A-Rec. Yeah, and that was the name of the business. And it's still going. And it was for people that didn't want to pay the kind of prices that we would pay for at Avis or Budget on a new car. And they were good used cars, which in actuality, and you think most of the rent a car companies after 2 or 3 months, it's a used car anyway. And but they specialized in renting wrecks. And that was it. They played on the fact that it was secondhand, so come and rent a wreck for, you know, in the case if it was here, they'd probably be saying, come and rent a wreck for 95 rand a day. But the wrecks were in pretty good shape, except the one that I rented. It was exceptional, according to him. We don't normally have wrecks. Okay. But it's interesting when you think about it. I mean, and the guy even played on the name, Rent-A-Wreck, and it's still operating. From a used car point of view, that you actually could have a business that is renting and competing from a point of view with secondhand cars. A company franchises concept for internet business software solutions, which provides small and medium-sized companies with e-commerce solutions to make powerful internet tools available at a fraction of the cost and installation time. This has got to be a fairly common thing that we do, but if you're going to franchise your business, we often say to business owners, when you're building your business, build it as if you are going to franchise it. In other words, put systems in that you know that you can turn around if you want to, and you could hand it over to somebody else and they could run it. Because if you've got a business that has that possibility, then start thinking that way from the start, and then you've got the processes and procedures in place, and then when you make the decision, it's not that difficult. If you're a one-person band and you've got everything in your head, it's going to be tough to franchise it. You've got to be able to take it in and put it into something somebody else can use. Buying a franchise is common. What are the advantages of... Give me some just out of interest for you guys. What are some of the advantages of buying a franchise? Your systems and procedures already there with it. Okay, quick way in to the market. You're buying a brand, it's already well known. Ease operation. And let me say this too. I did a lot of work with franchises in North America. And one of the biggest problems when you buy a franchise, if you buy it thinking that it's up to the responsibility of the franchisor for you to be successful. When you get a downswing in an economy or a competition coming into a market, one of the biggest troubles franchisors have is a lot of the people that buy the franchisee, as soon as it starts to run into any kind of trouble or any kind of pressure, they turn around and blame the franchisor instead of being a small business person like the guy next door who then would roll the sleeves up, get in there and really start doing the work that would make it succeed in tough times. There's a tendency to say, I have been sold a bill of goods and you're not making my business operate. It's still your business. And the work ethic and things that are there are, you know, it's important. And by the way, on franchising your business, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've seen a number of people that take on, you know, the franchise or master franchise in South Africa for certain brands or certain businesses. And one of the mistakes that they often make is when they go to open up around the country, they don't do it in clusters. And it's important to cluster when you open up. In other words, if I'm going to open six fast food restaurants, then I'd be better off opening up six in one location than one in Johannesburg, one in Durban, and one in Cape Town, and one in PE, because they're too spread out to succeed, where if I take and I cluster them, then I've got that advertising dollars that's hitting that one market. I got the people that can pull off of each other in that one market, and so you can usually build momentum in one market, get that market going well enough, and then go cluster over here and cluster over here. Would you agree with that? Yeah, if it's big enough. Yeah, where you could go into a small market where it could only handle one location anyway. Yeah, that's right. So if it's in a bigger market, you want to make sure you can hit it with some weight, so you take and you cluster it.